Greetings, I'm Matt Asher, and you found The Filter on YKYZ. The original cargo cultists were these tribesmen on an island, and after World War II ended and they'd seen the Western countries land plane after plane with supplies on a landing strip, they decided that if they built a landing strip themselves, that itself would cause other planes to show up and drop off supplies for them, in the same way that the landing strip seemed to correlate with planes coming by and dropping off supplies in the past. And so they built these landing strips in the middle of nowhere on the top of hills out of dirt because they didn't have the tools for pavement. And they sat along the edges of the runway and they waited. And I'm not sure how much this really occurred at the end of World War II. Maybe this was something that just happened once. Maybe it was something that happened with a few tribes. But we gave it a name and we called this cargo cult thinking, where you see something that happens and it seems to be related to some other thing. Another way of saying this would be that you are confusing correlation with causality. You're thinking that because two things seem to go together, then one thing must cause the other. And if you do the one thing, it's going to cause the other thing to happen. Of course, that's not how the world works, and those people who were waiting for planes that never showed up. That was not an effective way to get supplies to drop out of the sky or for planes to show up with supplies for them. It was not a sufficient condition for that to happen. It's very easy to look at the cargo cultists and see that as dumb or silly or absurd on the face of it, and to laugh at them or to mock their behavior and their lack of understanding about how the world worked. But it's also very easy to fall into these same kind of traps ourselves. And I'd like to argue, in some ways, all we have is cargo cult thinking. Even at our best, even when we seem to be quite sure about the mechanisms behind things or the models that seem to work, we are often, especially when it comes to complex scenarios and complex ecosystems, we are very often relying on correlation, not causation. We are very often making arguments about why something is a certain way or about the kind of effects that a particular action is going to have that don't square up with anything more than our own intuition and our own general feeling that doing this one thing seems to go with doing this other thing. Or we may have all kinds of arguments about why this is going to cause that, but the reverse arguments can be made as well. So we're in the position of tribesmen who are saying that if we pray five times, then the gods will bless us, versus others who say that if we pray only once, that's the proper amount, because anything more is going to tire out the gods and they will punish us for bugging them. And we're in that same position where we can't confidently assert that our causal mechanism is any more logical or compelling than the causational arguments of the opposing side. We are, in effect, in that same position as the cargo cultists who believe that this one thing is causing this other thing, but they don't have any other proof other than when they do it, it just keeps happening, or when it's happened in the past that this condition has happened, this landing strip has existed, it also happens that these planes are landing. This is particularly a problem when you have complex systems where we like to think of these complex systems as being reducible to very simple formula, but that's almost never the case. This seems to be a particular problem in economics. We seem to think that there is such a thing as GDP, or gross domestic product, that this single number somehow encapsulates important information about the economy, that you can reduce it to this single number, or even if you can't reduce it to that single number, you can encapsulate a lot of important information in that one single number. And then once you've got that one single number, you begin to forget that it's made up of dozens, hundreds, thousands of little inputs, each one of them measured imprecisely, each one of them representing biases and trade-offs, and certain assumptions that we make about what is and what isn't a legitimate thing to include in GDP. So, for example, if a person is working in the home and they're doing the dishes, that's not GDP. If you hire someone to do the dishes, that is GDP. Those conditions may make a certain logical sense, but it's also possible to argue the other side. And so each of these inclusions is, to say the least, debatable. But we bundle them all up into this one single number, and then we claim that this one single number represents something of reality. And then we go beyond that and we make a stronger claim. We put that number into an equation and we decide that output, that GDP, can be tweaked by changing the inputs, that if we increase or decrease the interest rate, that this will cause GDP to go up or down. If we work on targeting a particular inflation rate, another one of these numbers that is composed of many thousands of other smaller numbers that each include a certain amount of measurement error and lots of assumptions made about what does and doesn't constitute inflation. As we track products that change in terms of their quality and features over time, and we nonetheless bundle them all up into this single number. So we have this number of inflation, and then we have this other number of GDP, and then we start to pretend that these two fictions are real variables that can be put into an equation. This may seem like an absurd thing to do and that's something that no one would ever do, but in fact, it's quite common to speak about these as being levers or as being something akin to a faucet that you can turn on one or turn on the other. And if GDP is growing a little bit too slowly, well, we'll just decrease the interest rates. In this model, that's effectively like putting a little more hot water into the sink so the overall temperature rises. The assumption is that this exists as a lever and that if we turn it just a little bit more in one direction, the output, the GDP, will rise by some certain amount. In fact, we pretend that you can write out an equation and that equation represents the reality. To me, this is every bit as much cargo cult thinking as the original cargo cultists. There's no evidence that this works. There's only the broadest evidence that when certain conditions are met, certain things happen. We know that if inflation is spiraling out of control, that that's devastating for a country. We know that a certain amount of inflation, broadly speaking, doesn't harm a society too much. We believe that we know that no inflation or negative inflation can have a negative impact on the economy. But at best, what we have are broad correlations that are, in essence, like saying if there's a landing strip, then it's more likely that a plane will land. And so we're in that exact same scenario. We're building these landing strips. We're trying to target these made-up numbers in order to cause a certain effect that we really do not have any proof about. And the more complicated the system, the more complex the environment we're thinking about, the more likely we are to fall into these cargo cult traps, because it's really hard to tease out causality. It may be that ultimately, when it comes to these kind of things, we have to resign ourselves to correlation and not causation, except in the broadest possible way, where we see that societies that have certain features never seem to succeed, and societies that have other features overall tend to do very well. It may be that ultimately all we can do is trust these broad correlations and realize that at the very least, we don't want to be advocating the kinds of things that seem to correlate with bad outcomes. This is both an indictment of cargo cult thinking as it is practiced, in particular as it is practiced in the name of science or teasing out some kind of true relationship that we believe to exist, but also a defense of it, or at least a recognition that it may be all we have, that at bottom, as things get more and more complicated, the best we may be able to do is this, because we have so many different variables and inputs, and they're all interacting with each other in ways that we can't always predict, in ways that are chaotic, in ways that have to do with individual human behaviors that we'd like to say we could sum up, but we can't really sum up because they interact and because we have non-linearities. And we don't have a formula because the future isn't known. And it's not just a matter of a simple formula that might have some error. The error is not just a single term that has some kind of a normal distribution. The error isn't just like the kind of error that you get when you measure the position of a star in the sky, where you know that you are going to be off by some amount, but you also know that that amount is going to be limited. When it comes to these equations and these attempts to model complex scenarios, we often don't know anything about the kind of error we're going to be getting. So we can't go in and try to figure out what is causing what. So is there a way out? Is there a way to go beyond cargo cult thinking, even when it comes to complex scenarios? And what is it beyond these kinds of interactions and non-linearities that makes it so hard to try to tease out causality in complex scenarios? One of the problems that we have is that often in these scenarios, it's not possible to do a controlled experiment. It's not like you can run these GDP experiments over and over again and see what happens. You can't take half of the country and assign it to a higher level of inflation and the other half of the country and assign it to a lower level of inflation. And even in situations where you can do these kinds of experiments, the amount of noise is just way too high, or the unknown variables that you haven't accounted for, the interactions between the control group and the experimental group, as is the case if you, say, took a city and split it in half and applied one thing to one side and one to the other. You can't expect that the people on the one side are not going to interact with the people on the other side. Another problem is just the sheer amount of time that it takes in order to try to see something in the data that tells you about how the inputs are affecting the output. So with things like global warming, it may be there in terms of the inputs from human actions causing an increase in the global temperature. But at the same time, we might not really know for another 100 years if then. And until then, we're making predictions based on models. Those models are incredibly complicated, and tiny tweaks to initial conditions or the way in which some of the variables enter the model can have a huge impact on the output. And worse yet, the predictions that are made so far are not very good. So it puts us in a position to not have a lot of confidence in the current models until they've proven themselves over the course of the decades or centuries that it's going to take. And by then, so many other things could have happened, and there might be so many other factors involved. So getting beyond cargo cult thinking and trying to really tease out how one particular change to an input might affect the overall system becomes very hard, both because of the difficulty in doing experiments that are clean and also in the sheer amount of time that it often takes to tease out results. And the reason that it takes so long often is because the effects may be so small compared to the amount of noise in the system. So to see those effects might take a large change, and that large change might not come for a very long time, even if our models are correct, or I should say, even if our models do a good job of accounting for the information and making predictions. So we seem to be blocked by those factors, and those may be unsolvable things. There may not be a way to get around the infection in our thinking of cargo cult. I think the most important thing, if we resign ourselves to the possibility that we are all in some ways cargo cultists, is to be honest about it and to recognize that part of our own thinking and to not pretend that we're making an assertion about a system that behaves exactly as we pretend it behaves, or to confuse our models with a representation of the underlying reality. We can't start thinking that there really is some lever that we can turn that's going to make the GDP go up or down. All we can do is point to the correlations and say, look, when we have these kinds of conditions, these are the kind of results we tend to get. And once we've resigned ourselves to that form of argumentation and to that more limited way of thinking, we're not sunk. We're not sunk, I don't think, by a long shot. In fact, once we get to that point, we may be able to make models that can come up with very precise predictions. They just might be in a much more limited way. weathermen, meteorologists, I should say, are able often to make very precise predictions about what the weather is going to be like in a day or 2 days or 3 days. And so long as they recognize their limitations, that's fine. And that ability to make those predictions, it may be helped along by our understanding of the way in which air pressure and temperature and humidity interact. But it's also possible that we can come up with these models and that we can add some extra variable that helps us out, even without a deeper understanding of what's going on, of the physical model there. In fact, sometimes putting variables into a model that make no sense actually leads to better predictions. This is one of the big things that we're seeing now as people are analyzing larger and larger data sets and trying to make predictions based on them. This is what Netflix found when they did some experimenting around their prediction model of how much you'd like a movie based on how much you like other movies. They found that adding in other bits and pieces of information that on the face of it, one couldn't think of any logical explanation for why it should affect the outcome or lead to better predictions, but nonetheless, it did lead to better predictions. Digging in the data and finding these funny correlations and adding these other variables, sometimes it can lead you astray. Sometimes it can lead you down the path of believing that it's enough to build the runway for the planes to show up. But sometimes it can also uncover either hidden causal relationships or bits of information about human personality that we hadn't thought of. Or it may simply be something that we can't explain, but is nonetheless very useful when added to our model, and is useful not just in retrospect when we apply it to an already existing set of data, but going forward to new predictions. And it improves, it enhances our quality of prediction. In that case, those variables are great to have in the model. And even though we don't understand why it works, maybe it's enough that it just works. Maybe, in an ultimate sense, it doesn't matter whether or not we understand why things happen. Maybe all that matters is that we understand that if we build the runway, that we've increased our chance of a plane landing by 50%. And maybe that's the best we get. As we get better and better at digging into deeper data sets and trying to tease out what's going on in these very complex, convoluted, noisy situations, that may just get us a very far way. It may be that for a credit card company, trying to understand the mechanism behind an increase in the probability that this was a fraudulent transaction is a dead end, that we can understand that certain factors clearly make it much more likely to be fraudulent, and those factors are intuitively understandable, like the card being used in a place where it's never been used before for the first time, or particular kinds of transactions that to our head are clearly suspicious. But then there may be that as we dig into the data, we find lots of other circumstances where things that we would have never thought were suspicious, or that we could never wrap our heads around a particular explanation for why this should be suspicious. In fact, where we would be doing ourselves a disservice trying to come up with an explanation for why this particular thing correlates with a high level of fraud, that's just wasted effort, that we're banging our head against the wall trying to figure that out, that if we try to figure it out, that we're becoming worse cargo cultists because we're wrapping some bizarre explanation around why the plane and the runway seem to come together, instead of just taking a step back in these more complicated cases and saying, we don't really know, but it works. And in cases like detecting credit card fraud, it may not matter that we have a cogent explanation for why this particular weird variable is related and why this particular model that has these 50 different inputs that all interact in ways that we could never manage to wrap our heads around and that only a computer can effectively sort out, but it works. And if it does a better job detecting fraudulent transactions, it may just be that that's all we need. It may just be that it's enough to be a cargo cultist. You just have to be a good one.
Thanks for listening to The Filter with Matt Asher.
You can find show notes at thefilter.org or follow user Matt Asher on the socials.